turn there right now, but I'd like everybody to remember this. Some of you already know this, and those of you for whom it might be new, sear it onto your hearts. Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11. I'm going to start there. This is God talking to us. "For I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. Then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear and heed you. Then you will seek me, inquire for, and require me as a vital necessity, and find me when you search for me with your whole heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will release you from captivity and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, and I will bring you back to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive." Said to the Israelites and meant for every one of us. Jeremiah 29:11. We sang a song there just a moment ago, which is Sacrifice of Praise. I bring the sacrifice, or we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Has that ever struck anyone as a curious twist of phrase? Sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice of praise. It's even in the middle of the communion service that we do. You'll hear me say words just like that as we go through it. What I'd like to do is talk about that expression. And I want you to know that the Hebrew underneath that appears many, 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 many times throughout Scripture. It's often translated into English, sacrifice of praise, only a couple of times. Elsewhere it's sacrifice of thanksgiving, sacrifice of peace. But the Hebrew is always the same root. It's the same basic idea. Jeremiah 33, starting in verse 11, "The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride." And you know who that is. The bridegroom is Jesus. And you and I are the bride. "The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of those who will say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever. And of those who will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause the captives of the land to return as at the first." The word in Hebrew is todah, and it means to give thanks. To give thanks to God. To carry thanks to God might as you might carry a grain offering or a gift of gold, you carry thanksgiving and offer that thanksgiving to the Lord. That's the sacrifice of praise. Leviticus 7, here's where some of the rules for giving to the support of the priesthood and the Levites and the temple or the tabernacle are set forth by the Lord so that people know what it is that he expects of them. Here's what it says, Leviticus 7, and starting in verse 11. "Now this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which shall be presented to the Lord." Hear that? Peace offerings, which shall be presented to the Lord. "If he offers it by way of thanksgiving," in other words, that sacrifice of thanksgiving, "if he offers a peace offering by way of thanksgiving, then along with the sacrifice of thanksgiving," same word, todah, "along with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, he shall offer unleavened cakes mixed with oil, and unleavened wafers spread with oil, and cakes of well-stirred fine flour mixed with oil. With the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving, he shall present his offering with cakes of leavened bread. And of this he shall present one of every offering as a contribution to the Lord. It shall belong to the priest who sprinkles the blood of the peace offerings. Now as for the flesh of the sacrifice of his thanksgiving peace offerings, it shall be eaten on the day of his offering. He shall not leave any of it over till morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering is a votive or free will offering, it shall be eaten on the day he offers his sacrifice, and on the next day what is left may be eaten. But what is left over from the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burned with fire. So if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings should ever be eaten on the third day, he who offers it shall not be accepted, and it shall not be reckoned to his benefit. It shall be an offensive thing, and the person who eats of it shall bear his own iniquity. Now, I don't know whether all of that was easy to track. It wasn't for me. But the sense of this is that an offering is brought for peace or thanksgiving to the Lord. A portion of it goes to the priests, and a portion of it, the flesh, is burned and then consumed by the one making the offering. I don't know about you, but I often pictured the Old Testament sacrifices, you know, as they killed those rams or bulls and they put them up on the altar and they burned them up. And that was it. Well, they ate them. And in fact, there was something called the celebration tithe, which I suspect most of us don't even know about. I've given Natalie for our finance groups a thing I wrote called A Little Bible Study on Giving. And it goes into what tithe means. And most of us in this day and age, especially Christians, Protestants, Roman Catholics, we hear the word tithe, and it's preached about a lot in churches, and particularly Protestant churches, and what you're told, and there's one verse cited, that you're supposed to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, and that we as Christians are obligated to give 10% of our income to the church. Well, that's a great idea, and I want all of you to do it. But it's very hard to support that idea in Scripture, for a couple of reasons which I'll show, and I'm really not talking about tithing today. In fact, if what we chose to do as Christians was to be obedient to the way tithes are described in the Old Testament, we would be giving on average each year 23% of our income, not 10. So the Old Testament tithe isn't one thing. There are actually three different kinds of tithes described in the Old Testament. And Josephus, one of the early Jewish historians, actually calls it a 14 tithe system. And I won't explain that. It's in this little Bible study on giving, which you can read. But I do want to talk about one of those tithes, because it is so remarkable and virtually unknown. And it's called a celebration tithe. And here it is from Deuteronomy 14:22. God is talking, and here's what he says. Be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. If you're not a farmer, it means a tenth of your income. Eat the tithe of your grain, new wine and oil, and of the firstborn of your herds and flocks in the presence of the Lord your God and at the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name, so that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. Did you hear what that was? You set aside a tenth and you eat it in the presence of God. Let me read the next. What? Thanksgiving. Except Thanksgiving is like 1/365th, not a tenth. Let me read the next paragraph. But if that place is too distant, that is where the Lord's name is, the tabernacle, or ultimately the temple, if that place is too distant and you have been blessed by the Lord your God and cannot carry your tithe because the place where the Lord will choose to put his name is so far away, then exchange your tithe for silver and take the silver with you and go to the place the Lord your God will choose. Use the silver to buy whatever you like: cattle, sheep, wine, or other fermented drink, or anything you wish. Or anything you wish. Then you and your household shall eat there in the presence of the Lord your God and rejoice. Has anybody ever heard that before? Shouldn't we read our Bibles more? It seems to me there's good news in there. And this good news about a tithe is really, if you would, it's a principle. And what God is saying is, I want you in my presence, and I want you celebrating in my presence, and I really want a lot of that. I want you to set aside 10% of everything that you raise or make in the course of a year and bring it into my presence and party. That's exactly right. Rejoice. Rejoice in my presence. That's the celebration tithe. It's a sacrifice of praise. It's the sacrifice of thanksgiving. That's the character of it and the nature of it. Hebrews 13, starting in verse 8, says this: Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So do not be attracted by strange new ideas. Your spiritual strength comes from God's special favor, not from ceremonial rules about food, which don't help those who follow them. Now, that's not a reference to the ceremonial tithe. It's a reference to sacrifice at the altar and the rules that the Levites and the priests had to follow. We have an altar from which the priests and the temple on earth have no right to eat. Anybody hear that sentence before? This is an extraordinary thing. From Hebrews 13, verse 10. We have an altar from which the priests and the temple on earth have no right to eat. Under the system of Jewish laws, the high priest brought the blood of animals into the holy place as a sacrifice for sin. But the bodies of the animals were burned outside the camp. So also Jesus suffered and died outside the city gates in order to make his people holy by shedding his own blood. So let us go out to him outside the camp and bear the disgrace he bore. For this world is not our home. We are looking forward to our city in heaven, which is yet to come. And now, verse 15. With Jesus' help, let us continually offer our sacrifice of praise to God by proclaiming the glory of his name. Don't forget to do good and to share what you have with those in need, for such sacrifices are very pleasing to God. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say, for their work is to watch over your souls, and they know they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this joyfully and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be to your benefit. So we're encouraged to offer a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to God, to confess our thanks to him and our need for him. But what is so extraordinary here is when it says obey your spiritual leaders, it does not say obey the priests. And this, as those of you who have been here a while know, is something that I have taught on before, and that is this, that the word priest in Scripture is used to refer to the body of believers. And the word priest in English, which refers to me, is a different word in Greek. It's presbyteros. And it means elder. It doesn't mean priest in the sense of a sacrificing priest, an Old Testament kind of priest. When that word is used in the New Testament, it refers to all of you. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 1. So get rid of all malicious behavior and deceit. Don't just pretend to be good. Be done with hypocrisy and jealousy and backstabbing. You must crave pure spiritual milk, so you can grow into the fullness of your salvation. Cry out for this nourishment as a baby cries for milk, now that you have a taste of the Lord's kindness. Come to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by the people, but he is precious to God who chose him. And now God is building you. This is Peter talking to the believers. He's not talking to the presbyters alone. He's also talking to them. But this is Peter talking to the believers.
Now God is building you as living stones into His spiritual temple. What's more, you are God's holy priests who offer the spiritual sacrifices that please Him because of Jesus Christ. You are the holy priests who offer the spiritual sacrifices that please Him because of Jesus Christ. There is a wrong assumption made in many churches that the person who stands there for communion is standing in the place of Jesus and is the priest who is offering the sacrifice Jesus once offered again and again and again on Sunday. And this is not consistent with what Scripture says. It's a wrong teaching. Any theologian will tell you it's a wrong teaching. Any theologian, any Greek scholar will tell you it's a wrong teaching. The priesthood is the priesthood of all believers. And the word used to describe Jesus as the great high priest is the word used to describe all of us as priests, here by Peter and elsewhere in Scripture, in Hebrews, for instance. The word to describe what I do is presbyteros in Greek. It means elder. Now, I have a role as elder, and in fact, you heard it from the previous Scripture in Hebrews when it said, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they know you are, and you know they are accountable to God. They know they are accountable to God, rather. Give them reason to do this joyfully and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be to your benefit. The sense there is you don't obey me as an authority who just tells you what to do every time, but as an elder ordained, that you come to those who are elders ordained for counsel and direction, just as I go to others for counsel and direction. And that's my primary role here, is to teach and to lead. To sacrifice is what we all do. And the first sacrifice of all of us is the sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise. Finally, this. When things are going well, when we are feeling blessed, and if we are believers, probably the easiest thing to do is that sacrifice of praise. But there are times when things are not well at all. When our lives or our family's lives or those that we love dear to us, when our church is in desperate crisis, when trouble is so heavy upon us, the heavens seem to be brass. You pray and it seems to stop right here, as if there is nowhere that that prayer goes. There is no one above to hear it. And at those times, a sacrifice of praise is a genuine sacrifice. And that is just the time when our lips need to speak praise to God. In the teeth of trouble, as that eagle swoops in on us, talons stretched out to grab us and destroy us, as the snake comes to bite us, as the ravening wolf or the ravening lion comes to consume us, that is exactly the time for the sacrifice of praise, which comes not because we're happy, but because we know God's promise to us in Jeremiah 29. When He said, I know the end that I have planned for you and the purposes I have for you, and in the end you will endure and you will be with me. And so, this simple thing, this sacrifice of praise, doesn't cost a dime. It's not a celebration tithe. It's not a tithe of giving to the church. It's not a sacrifice and offering of money or income, all of which I believe are extraordinarily important to our soul's health. But this sacrifice, which somehow seems easy and free, it's just a sacrifice of praise. It's mentioned many, 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 many times in Scripture. This sacrifice is one which God seeks from us, which is of extraordinary importance to His heart and of eternal consequence and importance to our own hearts, especially when we are beset, when we are weighed down. And that is the time to say, "Holy, holy, holy. Lord, you are holy, and I praise your holy name. I praise your holy name." And so for us ahead, I hope that we find a way to live out the celebration tithe and to praise and worship God in our thanksgiving. But I also pray and hope that we each, in the face of great travail, will also be able to offer that sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord when it seems least possible and when we seem least able. May it be so for all of us. Amen.